into the heart of it. Little by little, love is guiding me home. With every step along this path, I feel a little lighter. With every lesson that I learn, I burn a little brighter. Little by little, bit by bit, I'm getting to the heart of it. Little by little, love is guiding me home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Music for a New World. I'm Alan Hunkin, your host. That track was Little by Little from the CD Little by Little, Nathan Aswell, the musician, the creator, and he is with us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here, Alan.
Great to have you. I don't do a lot of in-the-studio interviews because so much of my work is done on the telephone, but you live here in Vancouver, and so it's fun to have, as you say, someone come down to the ranch and you know, see the house and enjoy the view from my studio, and it's wonderful.
And the sauna is spectacular.
And let's talk about you first of all. Now, I always think there should be two bios on the back of the book. The one is he went to school here, he lived here, he had these experiences, he had these successes and that. As well, I think there should be a bio that places the influences, the disappointments, the things that he bumped into along the way that caused him to be who he was. And I'd like to see those two bios. In a minute or two, if you can, just give us kind of the first kind of bio, the second kind of bio together.
I can actually answer that quite easily because that's how I felt for a long time. I felt like I had two bios running concurrently. The first bio being musical, the second one being spiritual. So on the musical bio, I started singing probably when I was about 11 or something, was in my first professional group when I was 14 as a singer, started playing guitar at 16, quickly switched to bass shortly after when I realized that everyone was playing guitar and no one was playing bass, and certainly no one was singing and playing bass. So that was a pretty astute move. All of a sudden I was in demand everywhere because nobody was singing and playing bass. And that continued. So that's been my source of income for about 30 years now. And that's taken me through many levels and many experiences in Montreal, including playing with some big names before I moved out to Vancouver. Just felt that the political situation in Montreal was not going, it didn't feel like the place I would grow old in. Vancouver called. I felt moved to move out here. I did. Started all over again. I've had a number of experiences musically and now quite fortunate to be considered one of the people on the scene. So I have a great many friends on the local music scene who are very good friends of mine. So that's bio A. Bio B, the spiritual bio, started out as a Roman Catholic. Some of my earliest musical influences were in the church. I remember as a five-year-old boy standing in the middle of the choir loft with my dad singing in an all-male choir and just looking up and being surrounded by all these men and hearing that sound and just loving that sound. And the second memory is a priest who I met when I was about 7 or 8 who sang most of the Mass with a beautiful tenor voice, and I was just completely taken by him, became an altar boy as a result and whatever. But those are my two earliest musical memories. And with very little exception, my musical life has always had, there's always been another stream running within churches, religious settings all the way along too. And it has felt for a long time, well, up until present day where now I'm exploring Buddhism. So for a long time, I felt like there were these two streams that were running side by side, but we're not intersecting, or we're certainly not intersecting very much. And the really lovely thing is that especially over the last, I don't know how many years, those two separate rivers have been coming more and more together till now they're very much intertwined, which is really exciting for me. Because both of those parts are extremely important to me. And to be in a place now where I'm creating my own music and I'm doing that with people who I really respect as musicians, to be able to say that in the same sentence and to be able to be expressing that on the same stage with people who I hold in high musical regard is sweeter than I can possibly describe.
You know, there's the kind of world that we have and there's the kind of world that we want, and how do we get from here to there? And one of the ways we do that is through music. And I know you and I have had a conversation about positive music. One of the things that people say about this CD is that there's some tracks on it that are really positive. Mm-hmm. And you think that it's a whole new genre.
I don't know if it's a whole new genre. I don't think that I'm the only one out there who's writing music with a positive bent. In fact, I know I'm not. The challenge is that while there are a number of channels already in existence for pop, country, etc., I think that this is a genre that is just emerging or is just developing, and so I think the network is in the process of being formed. So my challenge as a songwriter who's writing music with this particular slant is to find other like-minded people. So I think initially it's going to be a little tougher to find my audience, but I'm very hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I have a very strong sense that this is music that the world wants at this point. And I just have to keep going until I find those souls.
Nathan, you know, I'm the kind of a guy who feels that it's important to pay attention to what I listen to. Because I think it takes maturity to listen to things that have some rough edges on them. And lots of people don't have that maturity. It takes spiritual work. It takes inner work in order to listen to things. And then some would say, you know, it almost takes a lot of maturity to watch television these days and not jump off a bridge somewhere. So I'm very careful about what I read. Not that I think it's going to do me any great harm. I just don't want to have it floating around inside my head. And on the other side of that is to choose music that's positive, that's inspirational, that's uplifting. You know, if you kind of think of a song, a track, as something that you kind of let loose in your head, because as you know, I'm sure, you know, a track will just float around in there and it'll, you know, you'll be walking down the street and parts of it will start playing in your head.
Whether you want them to or not.
Exactly. So if I'm in fact letting loose a track in my own head when I do, I sure want to be careful about which ones I'm actually letting loose. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think I would imagine that this is probably true for anybody that creates something. I think the desire to create something to a certain extent comes out of the realization that nobody else is quite expressing whatever it is, whether it's, you know, a visual art or music or whatever, in quite the same way as something that you're feeling inside that you feel you want to express. So that's where all this music came from for me, is in spite of the fact that, you know, I'm aware of what's going on inspirationally and what people are doing, I had specific kinds of ideas that I wanted to express, which I didn't find anybody else expressing quite the way I wanted it to be expressed. So I thought, I guess that means I should be writing my own. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, this music is not at all about preaching. I'm not interested in winning anybody over to a particular point of view. These songs very much came out of a desire, first and foremost, to inspire myself, to help me to remember the road that I want to be walking on, which is, you know, basically towards whatever people want to call it, enlightenment, kingdom, you know. And I feel like I succeeded. I listen to that music and it does inspire me. And the fact that it's inspiring other people to me is icing on the cake. It's tremendous. Another reason why Buddhism is now kind of resonating for me is, while initially I had this feeling of all organized religion kind of being polluted by, you know, it's human nature to just sort of taint the message and take it in a direction that was not initially meant to go in. The thing that I never really got away from that was a very big part of my Roman Catholic experience was the sense of community. I had a very strong sense of community, and that's something that I always hungered for and realized I was looking for in every new organization belief system. And that's finally being answered now, too, in my Buddhism exploration. I don't feel so, I mean, it's still very much, and I'm sure this is true of everybody, whatever path they choose. Ultimately, it is a solitary path. But I am really beginning to enjoy the fruits of community within Vancouver, within North America. And so that's a big part of what's appealing to me about the Buddhism path as well.
You know, this hour together is all about some of your music and playing some of your music. I Am Walking. Where did that come from?
In the last 2 years, I've been on 4 meditation retreats, week-long meditation retreats. That's something, too, that I've wanted to do for about 20 years and have finally experienced. And it's funny, there are some people in my life who I'm very close to, particularly my mother-in-law, who will hate that I'm singling her out. But anyway, who is just terrified at the notion of being quiet for a week. It's just beyond them how someone could survive that way. But it's actually a very powerful experience to allow yourself that gift of really turning everything off, or at least turning the volume down on everything. And the way that meditation retreats are structured, basically it comes down to eating, sleeping, bathing, walking, sitting, not much else. So principally during the day, you're alternating between sitting meditation and walking meditation. And one day on my first meditation retreat, I was walking and I thought, what would music sound like for this? What kind of music would go with this experience? And I Am Walking came out of that. I think the tempo of I Am Walking doesn't really suit walking meditation, but that's where the idea came out of. Something just sort of running around my head while I was on that first meditation retreat, and I Am Walking came out of that. The verses in I Am Walking talk about Buddhist notion of mindfulness, just being present with whatever you're doing. So I wrote 5 verses. I am breathing, I am sitting, I am walking, I am standing, I am lying on the ground. But you can write 1,000,000 verses. It's just about being completely present with whatever it is that you're doing, so that if you're eating, all you're doing is eating.
I am walking. I am walking on this street. I am walking. I am walking on this street. And I'm mindful of the process and the way that it repeats. Mindful of the lifting and the placing of my feet. And I have no destination, no place I have to go. The rising and the falling is all there is to note. I am walking. I am walking.
Well, I am talking to you, Nathan, room right now. So let's be here. Breathing is a part of spirituality. It's a part of life. It's the most important thing, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Not only to take the breath from a place of fear and sacrifice where I must get my next breath, to a place of celebration of each one. So where did the song Breathe come from?
Breathe was inspired by a book that was co-written by Charles and Carolyn Muir called Tantra, The Art of Conscious Loving, which is a very powerful book full of exercises basically about how to get closer to your partner. And specifically the exercise within the book that inspired Breathe was about literally lying side by side with your partner, spoon position. They specify the left side, which is interesting, and we tried left and right side, and it does make a difference. And the point of the exercise is for the two of you to breathe together or to alternate your breathing. And what seemed to be even more powerful was when we tried the alternating breath, and you literally feel as if your breath is leaving you and entering your partner and vice versa. And after about 10 or 15 minutes of that, you feel very much in sync, much more than you did when you began. And so a constant theme in all the music that I write, and certainly typified quite clearly in Breathe, is I start out with some kind of a lyric idea or some kind of idea that I want to express, and then I think about what would be the best way to demonstrate this musically. So Breathe, now that people who are listening to this are aware of this, when you listen to Breathe, you hear the melody go back and forth between the two voices, which is myself and Linda Kidder, and the last note of the song we end up singing in unison. So the music is very much about showing, quite literally, what happens through the process. In sharing this process of alternating breath back and forth, you do end up getting to be completely in sync. That's a very important theme for me in all the music that I write. How can I get the music to demonstrate what I'm saying lyrically? So there's always a lyric idea first, and then figuring out a way to have the music support that idea, sometimes quite literally. It's an idea that I got when I was studying at a college in Montreal. It's I don't know where it's from, 16th century, 17th century, whatever, called tone painting, where quite literally the example that I remember was there was some old piece about the lyric was Christ being laid in the tomb, and as the melody was saying that, Christ being laid in the tomb, all the instruments of the melody, everything was getting lower and lower. So it was quite a literal interpretation of what the lyric was about. So I've just been fascinated by that idea ever since, and really try to incorporate it in everything that I write.
Breathe in my love for you and the deepening hue of our union I will breathe in your love for me, feel its energy, build divine communion, spooning on our left and swaying like the tide. Let the rhythm lead us deep inside, filling every chakra, starting with the heart, nurturing our sacred counterpart. We breathe.
From Little by Little, you move on to Do That Thing, which is a really neat track. I really enjoyed that one. Tell us about that one.
All the songs that I've written, I wrote first and foremost as songs to inspire myself. If they inspire other people, even better. But first and foremost, they were songs to help me remember where I want to move, which is, you know, into more self-actualization, towards enlightenment, towards the kingdom, you know, whatever. So Do That Thing, quite simply, I'm like most people, I guess, I have a tendency of being too much up in my head. So this was a song to encourage me to act, and I just thought of a fun way to do that. My life goes much better, as I'm sure it does for most people, when I'm feeling connected to my body, when I'm not just in my head. So this is a song to really kind of remember that, you know, there is this other large section below your neck, which is really important.
The entire culture,
yeah,
really, everything about our culture is designed to pull us up into our head.
Yeah. That said, I should add, lest people think that this is just a call to kind of do whatever you want to do and, you know, forget about consequences. In the chorus, I sing whatever feeds your soul, whatever makes you whole. So it's about a certain kind of experience. But even more specifically, right towards the end of the song, I say, just remember the golden rule, which is do what you will, but harm none. So just make sure that it's always for the greater good,
right,
always for the good of all, you know, whatever it is that you decide to do.
Well, no question about it. In the book I'm writing right now, I'm talking about the contributive mind, is what I call it, and the idea that our mind moves back and forth between two spots, the consumptive mind and the contributive mind. And we're the most happy. We are the most fulfilled. We are the most everything when we are in a place of contribution. And I guess that's something that's happened, isn't it, in terms of new thought. I don't know, maybe it was just me and my own immaturity back in the late 90s. And when I started to get involved in new thought movement, was it seemed like there was, this is all a dream, this is all an illusion, there's no consequences, so let's just do what we want to do. I think it was a great place to go, but I don't think it moved us as far ahead as fast as we could have if we start to make contribution. And now, you know, as you know, at the Center for Spiritual Living in Vancouver and that, they're talking a lot about contribution, about action, about it does matter how we show up in the world.
And I mean, as you're talking, I'm certainly thinking about, as I'm sure a great many people are these days, about the whole global warming phenomenon. And, you know, certainly we can choose to be terrified by that. And I think, you know, it's certainly cause for concern. But I'm actually quite inspired, and it leaves me feeling quite hopeful and optimistic that it's now so much in people's consciousness, and there's so much information about how we can do things as individuals, that we will now begin to see great change, even on that score. So what I'm getting at is the power of action when there's a goal attached to it, as opposed to like, yeah, just doing whatever you want and, you know.
Right.
So now really everyone more and more coming to the awareness of what absolutely every one of us does has an impact on everything else. That's a wonderful thing that we're all coming to that point. Nothing but good can come out of it.
Absolutely true. I see that myself. And one of the things I've been saying on my various radio programs for a number of years now, and I'm really driving this point home now wherever I possibly can, and it leads me to your next track, and that is that the byproduct of capitalism, and I happen to be okay about capitalism. I happen to think that, yes, more people have risen up than would have if in any other kind of system. I don't think it's perfect, but I think it's probably the better one that we've got going. But the byproduct of capitalism is franticness. That's the residue that we end up being in as a result of, because it's all about activity. It's all about making it happen. It's all about, you know, being consumers and competitiveness. But the byproduct of that, the residue, is franticness. And being still has gotten lost somewhere. Where in our day? Unless we build it into our day, where do we be still? Were those some of the thoughts that you were thinking about when you wrote that song?
Be Still is about meditation. Meditation is something that I have been interested in, have had as part of my daily routine, has fallen away, has come back. There have been a number of cycles. And in the last couple of years, as I've really been moving into the exploration of Buddhism, there's a wonderful quote. There's a website that I go to for inspiration daily. It has something called Glimpse of the Day, which is anywhere from a line to a whole paragraph. And it's their excerpts from a book of the same title by a fellow, Sogyal Rinpoche, S-O-G-Y-A-L. And I'm paraphrasing here, but one of the quotes that really stuck in me is something along the lines of, in your practice, you need to get to the point where you realize that meditation is as essential as eating or sleeping or anything else. And I think that's what's happened to me now, is I really do see that. If there are days and they are fewer and farther between than they ever have been, but if I have a day where I don't meditate, it definitely makes a difference. It definitely grounds me and makes me feel, gives me the fuel, the juice to kind of not take everything so seriously, so frantically, as you put it. That said, Be Still was inspired by a week-long experience that I had. I went for a week of solitude over on Main Island with no intention to write any music, just a desire to unplug and just, you know, get out of my routine for a week. And unbeknownst to me, there was a guitar there. And the second to last day or the last day I was there, I picked up the guitar and that's the song that came out.
It's a killer.
And I really love the song because I think it really captured how I was feeling at the end of that week. Solitude is a very sweet thing. We all need a certain amount of solitude in our day, even if it's only 5 or 10 minutes. It really, we need it to rejuvenate ourselves. We're just bombarded by information and stimulus from all sides, all day long, you know, countless ways. And yeah, we need something to just sort of give us a chance to regroup and focus, and it's wonderful.
Stop. Take a break, whatever can wait. Allow here and now to unfold. Let wisdom come quietly into your heart. Be still and find peace in your soul. Like a seedling in the springtime, ripe and ready on its tree. Disconnect from all your worries and be free.
Reese Witherspoon, in giving the speech after she won the Academy Award, said, all I've ever wanted to do is just produce something that mattered.
Hmm.
And I guess that's just such a important thing that people have, is to be seen, to be noticed. A track on this CD, Little by Little, I Can See You.
Well, I feel like I want to respond to that in two ways. In reference to Reese Witherspoon, I think that's a great quote, and I remember seeing that and being very inspired by her saying that. And I'm glad that you brought it up, because I feel very similar about that. And it's very interesting to be promoting my music and, you know, be identifying with the whole Buddhist slant, which is it's not about fame, it's not about gain. So how do you promote yourself from a right. selfless place? So it's interesting. I seem to be having some degree of ease with that, because the music feels like it has a life of its own. And I really feel like someone who just wants to make sure that that music gets heard. It doesn't feel like it's attached to me. This isn't about fame for me. It's a wonderful thing. It is actually making this whole process easier. And that seems to be happening quite naturally. I didn't kind of say, well, this is how I'm going to get through this. That's just sort of how it's naturally happening. And yeah, I feel that the music is something that the world needs to hear. And I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about getting that out there. And I'm happy to be doing that from a non-ego place.
And I've been to an event where the Dalai Lama was the main person there,
yeah.
sat just a few rows away from him. This is one really cool dude. I mean, this is a guy who is famous, who has influence, who has power, and it doesn't mean one thing to him, but he's having the time of his life.
Yeah.
And so there is probably, Nathan, this place that we can evolve to,
yeah.
which is more true than absolutely selfless, nothing. You know, the highest truth possible would always be about giving your gifts. And to not appreciate the fact that others appreciate it is kind of a denial of those gifts in a way.
Right, but that can't be your motivation for doing it.
Exactly. I'm not saying it needs to be the motivation. Yeah. It's like not receiving a compliment.
Right.
Right? You say, oh, you're a very nice person.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm not. Well, now you've just insulted the person that...
Yeah, and I will honestly and readily say that I definitely have some work to do about receiving. There's definitely work to be...
I've read about people like you. I've never... never had any of that problem myself personally.
Well, I'm glad to be sitting at your feet, Swami. In any case, so that's one aspect of I Can See You that I wanted to express, is I want the music to be seen. I want the music to be heard.
So where did this track come from?
Where this track came from is out of my childhood experience. I was my parents divorced when I was about 12. And as anyone who's been through that experience can tell you, it's just heart-wrenching and very scary. I literally said for a great number of years it felt like the floor had been taken up from under me. And so this song is written to, you know, Nathan, the 12-year-old, who was caught in the middle of that and was terrified. And this is me reassuring him that he's going to be okay.
Wow.